catch in the sand it flows. You are Lord. To the low, lowest valley, oh, the blood that gives me strength, well, from day to day, it will never lose its power. Let's just give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight we just want to focus our attention. Thank you. Amen. On what our Lord and Savior did there some 2,000 years ago, before he was preparing to go to a cross and church. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that he went for me. There's many people that, amen, have not come to accept what he's done, but I have, and I'm so glad that he went there for me. Amen. If it had not been for him going to the cross, where would we be tonight? Amen. Our coming to church would be in vain tonight if he hadn't gone. Amen. If he had not died for our sins. Calvary, Calvary. Let's sing a chorus of that. Calvary. Oh, Calvary. That's where he died. Oh, just for me. Oh, thank God for Calvary. Hey, Calvary. Oh, the Lamb gave his life. Oh, to set me free. Oh, where he died, that's where he died, just for me. Whoa, everybody sing the song, say Calvary. Whoa, Calvary, the Lamb gave his life. Whoa, to set me free. One more time with all your heart tonight. Oh, it was at Calvary. Hey, Calvary, that's where he died. Oh, just for me.
This life to set me free. Oh, that's where he died. That's where he died just for me. Oh, the Lamb gave his life. The Lamb gave his life to set me free. Oh, that's where he died, say. That's where he died. Oh, it's for me.
Come on and give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for Calvary tonight, oh God. Thank you for Calvary, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Just for me. Just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it. Just for me. Just for me. Just for me. It was just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me.
Come on, just for me, say,
just for me. Oh, just for me. Jesus came and did it just for me. Oh, just for me. Yes, it was just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me.
With all your heart, say it was just for me.
Me, just for me. He, I know Jesus came and did it just for me. Oh, I'm so glad it was just for me. Just for me. Oh, I know Jesus came and did it just for me. Hey, I'm grateful tonight it was just for me. Oh, just for me. Me, oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Yes, he did. It was just for me. Oh, just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me.
One more time with all your heart tonight. It was just for me. Just for me.
Me. It was just for me. Oh, Jesus came and did it just for me. Yes, he did. It was just for me. It was just for me. Oh, yeah. Jesus came and did it just for me.
Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just sing one more song tonight. Communion, to fellowship with you, is what we long to do. Amen. Commune with our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
To fellowship with you
is what we long.
Is what we long to do.
Communion.
Communion. A holy communion. Lord, we long to do.
come near with you. Hallelujah, with all your heart, communion.
Communion, sweet communion.
To fellowship with you.
To fellowship with you is what we long to do. Oh, communion, holy communion, Lord, we long to commune with you. Everybody say, communion, sweet communion, Lord. Fellowship with you is what we long to do. Oh, communion, oh, holy communion, Lord, we long to commune with you. Communion, sweet communion, Lord, to fellowship with you is what we long to do. Oh, communion, say holy communion, Lord, we commune with you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My God, my God. Hallelujah. Let's just bow for a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We have the opportunity to come tonight, Lord, just commemorating what you did there, Calvary's cross, some 2,000 years ago, and all the suffering, all the pain, all the agony, Lord, you went through. And your prophet even told us, Lord, the death took place, Lord, in Gethsemane, where you were begging and pleading, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But Lord, you brought yourself to a place of surrender. You said, not my will, but thy will be done. And Lord, you knew what was facing you, knew what was ahead. But God, you went through it all, the worst death that any man could die. And Lord, you did it all just for us. Tonight, Lord, we come just to say thank you. We've come to tell you we appreciate, Lord, what you did, Father, for the sins of Adam and Eve that cut us off having the pure fellowship that we once had. But thank God for the second Adam, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who restored that fellowship. And God, it's through the blood that we can come into your presence. It's through the blood tonight, Lord, that we worship, we adore you. Father, we just ask that you bless our gathering here tonight. Those that may still be on the way, we pray that you bless them as well. Let them arrive safely tonight is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing maybe a chorus of that, through the blood. We can come into his presence through the blood.
And it's through the blood.
hands lifted, eyes closed, through the blood. Lord, it's through the blood, oh, we can come into His presence. Well, it's through the blood, my Jesus has made a way, oh, that we can come into His presence. Well, it's through the blood. One more time, say it's through the blood. Yes, it's through the blood. Oh, we can come into His presence. Well, it's through the blood. My Jesus has made a way that we can come into His presence, and it's through the blood.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Just turn around and tell somebody, thank God for the blood tonight. Thank God for the blood. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the blood. My. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for Brother Louis Matias. Matias. Is that Matias? Okay. Estefania. Is that? Praise the Lord. And Andrew Matias. God bless you all. Amen. They're from Yonkers, New York. Amen. Visiting with the brother and sister Robles. We thank God for having them here in West Palm Beach, Florida. Amen. We thank God for you being here tonight. We want to just, if we can get our Bibles here, I just want to maybe read a scripture or so and just kind of give a brief, really brief sermon, if I can, tonight before we would go into our communion service. We just want to just talk about our Lord, amen, and what He is, what He's done for us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, amen. And if it was not for Jesus, amen, nothing else would have happened, amen, if it wasn't for Him. So we thank God. I want to read from Mark 14, and we're going to just kind of skip around in this particular chapter, but we'll start with verse 1 and 2 of Mark 14, and then I'll skip down to verse 12, and we'll read just for a little bit there. Amen. But I trust tonight that the Lord will just bless, amen, the words that we will share. Here, Mark 14, verse 1 and 2 says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. They want to kill Him on the feast day, which this was the feast of Passover, and also then getting ready to go into the feast of unleavened bread. But they were saying that they didn't want to kill Him on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. If we skip over to verse 12, so in the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, His disciples said unto Him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And He sendeth forth 2 of His disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a larger upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. His disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we could just maybe get that first quote that we have listed there out of communion. Amen. We'll pull that up. And we just want to kind of talk on the subject of communion tonight. I was telling you all a few weeks ago that Brother Mike had given me a call, and a few months ago, I should say, he'd given me a call. He was reading out of his message communion, and Brother Branham had made this comment, and he was asking me the question, you know, about this comment that Brother Branham made, and I said, my, you know, I just never looked at that. You know, that there is a real blessing. And, you know, we'll just kind of read this and I'll show you what he said. It says, over here in the book of St. Matthew's Gospel in the 26th chapter, the 27th and 28th verse, the text I wish to read, and took the cup, and when it gave thanks and he gave it to them, said, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, one thing I want you to kind of understand here with the scripture, communion is a very, very important event for Christians. And, I mean, it's so important that when we actually make it through the journey here on this side, amen, when we make it through our journey, the first thing that we do on the other side is have communion with our Lord. When Abraham met Melchizedek on his way from the battle, he had communion with Melchizedek. And that's a type of us after the battle is over in life. Amen. We'll have communion with our Lord. But here, Brother Branham goes on to say here, as he reads the scripture, he says, Now we're going to speak on the communion. Amen. He says, we're going to speak on the communion. And this is the original communion night. Brother Randall spoke this message in 1957, and they were approaching Easter, and this was a Thursday night that he took a subject on communion. I believe he took like a series there for the weekend. He took communion, took perfection, took the entombment. When their eyes were open, they knew him. Amen. The mighty conqueror. He took those sermons and preached them there in 1957. But he made this comment: This is the original communion night. And Brother Mike was asking the question, well, what does he mean by that? And as I start thinking about it, they had the service on a Thursday night right before Easter, and which is the service that we're having tonight. And I thought it would be so appropriate if we came tonight and kind of commemorated what our Lord and Savior did some 2,000 years ago. And I want you to get in your mind what was going on that night. You know, just really kind of think about here he's come. He is done all the work that he can, you know, that he could do for us, and now he has to go away. But he realized the death that he's getting ready to embark upon is the worst death that any man could die by. The pain that he'd have to go through just for us. Church, it was so much. I mean, he was so weak from the beatings and everything else that he went through. And I mean, this wasn't nobody just taking a little strap and hitting somebody with, you know, not like a little belt. All right, this whip that they had, I mean, when it would hit his skin, it'd pull his skin open. See, I mean, just rip his skin, he'd take about 40 of those stripes,
you know, 39 of the stripes. And I mean, here he's taking all of that just for you, church. And he was not a big man. Jesus was a man of very small stature. And the thing about it, he never did anything wrong. He didn't even deserve it, you know. But this was the only way that God could bridge the gap to bring, amen, man back in complete fellowship with him, because Adam fell in the beginning. The only way he can get us back into fellowship, somebody would have to die for our sins, you know. And he left his own throne in glory to come down and dwell in the body of Jesus. Amen, to come down and die for each and every one of us. Church, we ought to be appreciative of that. We should never take that for granted. We should never let that just become common to us. It should be something that we thank God for every day. Hallelujah. Amen. But he, as we look at this, this was the this tonight as we is the original communion, amen, tonight. And as we go on in this quote here, Brother Branham says, and communion was held first down in Egypt. And I want to kind of, we're going to kind of go back down there a little bit into scripture and just look at what happened there in Egypt. And I think this is important because I think we've allowed, it's unfortunate, but we've allowed, amen, the true essence of communion to get all mixed up because whether it's, I mean, people have all kind of ways that they celebrate it, whether we do it weekly, like some churches every week, they, I mean, actually every time they go to church, they have a communion. You know, some do it once a year, some do it once a month. Some do one cup, some do many cups, and we got so many things that we have that we've allowed just to kind of take the essence of it away. But we don't want to focus on those things. We just want to focus on what our Lord and Savior did for us, you know. And we gotta understand something here. When we go back to the original, amen, to the original communion happening down in Egypt, each household had their own lamb. Amen, and had their own, each one had to be identified by themselves. They couldn't share with anybody else. Each household was represented by themselves. It's an individual affair. See, listen, communion was held first way down in Egypt. Amen, the first of the communion. And this is the thing, if your neighbor had blood on their door, that didn't cover you. Amen. Right? I mean, if your pastor had blood on his door, that did not cover you. Amen. You had to have blood on your own door. It was an individual affair. You couldn't worry about what everybody else had. You had to concentrate on yourself. See? Amen. My. Say, listen, says, the first of the communion, which was the Passover lamb that was slain, which was a type of Christ. And many of us are familiar with that blessed old story of how that they who took the communion down there walked through the wilderness for 40 years. And when they come out, there wasn't a feeble one among them. Even their clothes was not even threadbare. For 40 years, God had kept them. What a blessed assurance it is to us tonight. If that be the type, then Christ is the antitype in how that God delivered the children. And in the taking of the communion was the difference between life and death. Now, this is very important. The taking of communion was the difference between life and death. Those who were on the inside under the shed blood took the communion. No one could take the communion outside being under the shed blood. The blood of the lamb was shed first and then was put on the lintel and the doorpost. The lintel is the cross timber and on the doorpost. And the lamb was roasted and was eaten with bitter herbs, and they girded themselves after the blood was shed and they had passed under the shed blood. They were girded and are ready for the march. And now it's a very beautiful type tonight of people who take communion is not to be associated or affiliated with the things of the world anymore. It's a type of that. You know, we're not to be associated or affiliated with the things of the world anymore. They must come under the blood first and be cleansed from all sin, which is unbelief, and then be shod with the preparation of the gospel, having on the whole armor of God ready for the summons at any time. And I want to just kind of go back over into Exodus here. We want to read a few scriptures there. Amen, out of Exodus. Praise the Lord. My. Exodus 12 is where we want to go. Brother Brandon brings us this thought here. And a communion, amen, its original form was down here in, amen, and what took place there in Exodus. Praise the Lord. My. Hallelujah. This scripture that we're reading, this is really referring to Passover. amen, and what Passover is all about. You may hear that term, but this is the time where God had, I mean, they had gone through many plagues down in Egypt. Moses called for frogs. Moses called for lice. Moses called for a number of things, turned the water into blood. So many different things that it took place down there in Egypt. But this last thing that took place, and, you know, all of the plagues and everything was striking down in Egypt, but in Goshen, where the children of Israel were, you know, God was protecting them. But God sent one last plague. The last plague was death, all right? And everybody had to follow the word of God accordingly in order to avoid death, all right, in order to avoid. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We find ourselves in the same position here tonight. Amen. As Christians, we better make sure that we are following the word of God to a T. Amen. If we want to avoid, amen, missing a rapture, you know, I mean, if we want to catch the rapture, we better make sure we're following the word of God to a T. We're going to see some things here. One thing they had there in this original communion, they did it with unleavened bread. Now, leaven is something that they used to use the old bread they would have. They'd save a little piece of that. Then they put it with the new bread, and that would cause the bread to rise. All right. Now, what would what Brother Branham say? What leaven represented, or unleavened? What the leaven represented? It was adding something to the word of God. See, and this is what a lot of churches have done today. We've added things to the word of God. Now, you know what? It may produce larger crowds. Yeah. It may produce bigger churches, mega churches. Amen. It may produce that, but the thing of it is, if something's been added to it, then somebody's going to have to pay God at the end. All right. See? So, I mean, you may end up with a small church. That's okay, but take your unleavened bread and just enjoy it. Amen. Amen. See, they had to keep it unleavened for 7 days, which represented seven church ages. We had to keep it simple for seven church ages. See? Amen. We couldn't add anything or take anything away from the word of God. God doesn't want it that way. But let's just kind of pick this up in the scripture, Exodus chapter 12. Amen. Here's the Passover when they got everything prepared. Praise the Lord. They got themselves prepared, getting ready for this last plague, the plague of death. Amen. Brother Branham says this was the original communion. This is when you go back and look at communion, when you want to take that amen. When you want to just kind of take the scripture, and like I say, we don't hack the word of God to pieces, arguing over different parts. Let's focus on what our Lord and Savior did for us. Let's not hack it over a cup or many cups. Don't hack it. Don't bring communion down to that simple level like that. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Let's look at what our Lord and Savior did for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, listen here. He says this, let's see, I think I want to read starting at verse 5. Amen. It says this, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Now, they had to choose a lamb, praise the Lord, they had to choose a lamb and bring that lamb and slay it, and then take the blood from the lamb and put it over the doorpost. They put, you know, at the lintel and then on the doorpost. It was like making a little cross. That's what they would do. Now you notice this. The scripture says that it had to be without blemish. The lamb had to be without blemish. Pretty much it had to be a perfect lamb, okay? And the way I get this is that, church, I know now in your flesh, you can't be perfect in your flesh, right? But our approach to God, amen, should be in a perfect way, an upright heart, a perfect heart before God. When we come to take communion, amen, we shouldn't have all kind of plans to do sin. You understand? There's some people that come in and participate in communion, but they already have in their heart that when I leave church, I got some things I'm going to do. You don't come to God. That's a blemish in your heart when you approach him in that manner. See, amen, we want to come, Lord, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, no matter what I go through, I'm still going to walk upright before you. When I make a mistake, I'm going to be quick to repent, Lord. I'm not planning to go out here and sin, Lord, after I leave church. I don't care what. I'm going to walk upright before you. See? Amen. Without blemish. Don't. I mean, this. They had to bring a perfect lamb. We got to bring a perfect heart. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Listen. So your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Amen. And ye shall take it out from the sheep and or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. Praise the Lord. And there's much that we can share there. Brother Branham went on to say, Jesus, when he died, he didn't die in the morning. He died in the evening. He was the perfect type. When we're reading about this lamb in Exodus 12, it's a perfect type of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we read the scripture there, Mark, they didn't want to kill the Lord at during the feast, during the Passover. But they had to, because he was the Passover lamb. See, he was the Lamb of God. Jesus, there's a couple of things that we could probably we know about his death and his birth. I think it all took place in the month of April, somewhere in the springtime, right? Brother Branham kind of tells us that, saying lambs are born in the springtime. We know it did not happen in December, you know, but it's in the springtime these things took place. All right, so I mean, some, you know, March, April, somewhere in that time frame, these things had to happen. This is, you know, to me, this just so important. Notice, as our Lord and Savior is getting ready to leave this earth, last thing that he does, the last thing that he teaches is his disciples is about communion and feet washing. And I want you to understand something. God's prophet, the last message that he preached before God took him off the scene was the message of communion. It's a simple message. It's not deep. But yet, God would do something like that. Maybe he's trying to tell us something in here. This is a very, very important service. Actually, the church should be packed on communion night. You know, communion night, whenever you have communion service, that's what we call the showdown service. It shows whether you're truly living for God or not living for God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody, I got a quote up here, Brother Adam, say every Christian ought to participate in communion. Every Christian. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. Let's keep reading here. Let's see. Verse 6. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall eat it. Now listen, when they kill this lamb, amen. If you had to follow God's word to a T. You couldn't just kill the lamb and keep the blood on the inside of the house. You had to kill the lamb, and then you had to take the blood, put it on the outside of the house. And the reason that you put it outside, because when the death angel was passing through the land, that death angel had to see that blood. Yes, Lord. And maybe you know, you can imagine, because it was death to the firstborn son in that house. If they didn't follow the law of Moses, the words of Moses, it was death to the firstborn. It didn't matter whether he was in the Egyptian's house or if he was in the Israelite's house. It was death to the firstborn. So they had to make sure they had it on the outside on display. Now, this is the same thing it is with us as Christians. Today, we don't have physical blood that we put up on our doors. But today, this is called the token. And today, what the token is the Holy Ghost. And amen. And there's no way, when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, that's not done in some corner somewhere. God changes your life. God wants your life to be on display. Sunday through Sunday, your life should be on display. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, your life should be on display. The token life, the Holy Ghost life. That means there's some things that you can't do that others can do. And you got to be satisfied with that. You know, down there in Egypt, maybe if some young people say, we're going out tonight. We're going to a party. But there were some people saying, now, I'm not going to get caught out there while the death angel is sweeping through the land. There's some things that some people just couldn't do because they was under a blood covenant. And when you find yourself under a blood covenant, there's some things that you cannot do. You just got to let them go. God, and I'm not ashamed to let it go. I find pleasure in releasing this and just serving you with everything I got. Oh, hallelujah. My. Hallelujah. Listen, he says, verse 7 again, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides. Amen. Two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it, and they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertness thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. They had to be ready to go. After this event was going to take place, you'll see Pharaoh, he was so upset. His son had just died. He didn't have blood over his door. And there his son had just died, and my Pharaoh said, get out of Egypt right now. They had to be ready to go. God already knew what Pharaoh was getting ready to do. See, church, and one of these days, you know, when I think about this type, our Lord and Savior, before he passes, before he goes to the cross, communion, feet washing, the prophet, before he leaves the earth, communion. Is it possible that one of these days we might step into a communion service and that might be it? Is it possible? And we stay home, I'm going to miss the communion service. No, that might be the very service. See, that might be the last service that we ever have here on the earth, the communion service. We don't know. It's types there. See, Lord, I just want to be ready. And the thing of it is here, you know, it's talking about how they had to be dressed and ready to go. Spiritually, we have to be dressed, ready to go. Hallelujah. Listen, it goes on to say this, if I would pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This is our, when we look at communion, we have to go back and look at this particular part of the scripture to get an understanding. It's so important. They had to have a lamb without blemish. Our hearts, when we come before taking communion, our hearts should be without blemish. Amen. We should have a pure heart, a pure conscience before God. All of us make mistakes. All of us do something. I mean, you might have just blew your horn in traffic today. I'm not talking about that. Still ask God to forgive you for that, okay? Amen. You know, there's even some things I can tell you. This Brother Branham say, a joking spirit can actually, I mean, playful joking spirit can offend God. See, there's a lot of little things that we do in our life that yes, we do offend God, and that's why when we approach the communion, the first thing we do is like, Lord, if I've done anything that's displeasing in your sight, please forgive me. If I've said anything, Lord, please forgive me. Not only that, you know, if I need to go to somebody and talk to them and make it right, please forgive me. See, I mean, sometimes, I mean, you want to do that. Don't come and take communion with something in your heart and then leave with that same thing in your heart. See, amen. Now is the time for us to really, the communion is a time where we really fellowship. We come into true, a perfect fellowship, realizing what our Lord and Savior did for us. Church, he carried the cross so we don't have to. He bore the burden so we don't have to bear it. See, we got to get to a place where we just let it all go. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, listen, they found a lamb without blemish when our Lord and Savior representing the Passover himself. He was a lamb without blemish. I believe it was Pilate that said, we find no fault in him. Amen. They couldn't find any fault in him. And here he is representing the lamb without blemish. He was held, put on that cross there. Amen. Died for our sins, a bleeding, bloody lamb. Amen. And the Bible says that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He's the one that made the difference for us, church. Tonight we come to worship King Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read a few of those scriptures there about that. Amen. Matthew 27, my. Let's see, I got Matthew. It's just maybe. Thank you, Lord. Church, it was a showdown, and I think I want to try to bring that quote in if I can in a little bit. Amen. Matthew 27:22 says this. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Pilate was also warned by his wife, you know, have nothing to do with that just man. Have nothing to do with him. But he gave in to the pressures of the people. And there's a story that's told about Pilate that he committed suicide later on in his life. Yes, he might have tried to take his ward and wash the blood, but when you got blood on your hands, you just can't wash it off like that, especially the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, there's people today with the blood of the Lord Jesus still on their hands, and they're running from this place to that place trying to wash it off. Amen. The only thing you can do is come and just repent. That's all. Let God take it from you. Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. That's what he tells us, church. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says, and my God, verse 25, then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's go on over to John 19. My Lord, oh God, think about what he went through there for us. Amen. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My. Verse 1 here in John 19 says, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. He was a perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, no blemish on him. I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. Church, there was no fault found in this lamb. No fault. He never did anything wrong, not one thing. He did not sin, but he bore our sins. Thank God for this. Oh, my. Church, I tell you what, I don't want to just do it this weekend, but I want to do it every day of my life. I want to put the focus on Jesus Christ. I got to bring it back in focus with Jesus Christ. Look at what he did for us. Amen. And oftentimes I think we take it for granted. We take it lightly. And even if you said to yourself, if I would have been there, I would have stood up for him. You know what? The life that you live today shows what you would have did when you would have been back there. The life that we showed, the life that we live today shows what we would have did back there. Amen. We don't have to go back there. We can make the difference right now. Hallelujah. Church, and as we think about this, you know, again, the with the type being there, what happened with them on the first Passover when the death angel passed through the lamb, every household had to have that blood applied. Every household, every individual had to have that blood applied. It's the same thing that every individual today is going to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the life. If you don't have it, I advise you, make sure you get it. This weekend, I want to encourage you, because I won't go take too much more time here. Brother Branham said the token today is the Holy Ghost. And I want to encourage you, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, seek God for it this weekend. If you've been baptized in water, if you've repented, amen, like the scriptures say, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you, to your children, those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. This weekend, if you have not received it, seek God for it. God, I want this Easter, amen, I want a true resurrection to take place in my own life. I want, and not just seek God for a filling, but seek God for a refilling of the Holy Ghost. God, refill me this weekend. I need something a little bit more than what I got. I feel like I'm empty. God, I need you to move in my life, that people would see the token on display inside of me. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to seek God with everything you got, everything you have. The token in that day was the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. It didn't matter if you were an Israelite. That didn't have anything to do with it. You could be, you could prove your lineage. You could do all of that. And today what we have accepted is just because we're part of the message. I believe the message. I believe God sent a prophet. That's good, but it's not good enough. Amen. The same life that was in the prophet is going to have to be in you. And the prophet was anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He received the Holy Ghost. See, amen. Brother Branham, before he was a prophet, would have been a murderer. I shouldn't say that. Before he knew that he was a prophet, he was born a prophet. Before he knew that he was a prophet, he would have been a murderer. He tried to kill some people. If God wouldn't have kept him when he was young, he would have probably followed the footsteps of his father. He would have been a drunkard, making moonshine, but God had to keep him from things like that. Amen. See? Amen. God did some things for him, but he realized that he still didn't know God. It was only when he got about 20, 21 years old that he finally had an experience with God. Church, we just can't, just because we grow up in the message, that does not mean anything. Just because those Israelites grew up in Israel or in Goshen, that didn't mean anything. They had to put the blood over their doors. We're going to have to make sure we got the Holy Ghost. God, fill me. Refill me. Touch me. Deliver me. Set me free, God. I need something to happen for me this weekend. As I'm coming here to approach communion tonight, Lord, just everything that's in me, empty out. Everything that's in me, I want to be emptied out. Because, Lord, I just need you to do something special for me. Oh, God. He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect lamb. It was everything we need. And those Israelites, what they would do is when they kill that lamb, they identify themselves by putting the blood on the door. Amen. We want to identify ourselves tonight with our sacrifice. God, I come to accept everything you did for me at Calvary. Amen. And I want to make sure, Lord, that my heart is right, my heart is perfect before you. The thing of it is, if they didn't do it, church, and as we read the scripture from 1 Corinthians 11, if they didn't do it, it brought death. Church, if we don't approach communion the right way, do you realize that, amen, it could bring sickness to your body, which sickness could also lead to death in your body if you don't approach it the right way? God, let me approach it the right way. Let's slip over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we prepare our hearts, amen, for our communion tonight. Amen, and as I'm just reading the scripture, I want to encourage you to, amen, just in your heart, just say a silent prayer. God, if there's anything in me that's not right, let me get it right tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is a showdown. This is the ones that had blood on their doors, they showed that they believe what Moses said. The ones that didn't have the blood did not believe. Amen. That was the showdown between believing and not believing. Hallelujah. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul makes the comment, says, for I have received, verse 23, I'm sorry, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, said, take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And this is what we're talking about. If they had to present a perfect lamb, amen, we have to present a perfect heart tonight, amen. If we don't want to approach the communion table with a heart that we know, in our heart we plan on sinning. We know we plan on sinning. Don't do that. Don't do that. There's consequences when we approach God like that. There was some brothers one time, they were picking at somebody, and Brother Bram was telling the story. They were these guys. They was talking to one of the friends. A friend had caught a cab to go to church, and he went to church for the communion service. They said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Where you been?" He said, "We went to the communion. I went to the communion service." "You caught a cab to go to communion service?" "Yeah, I went." "Well, we had our communion right here." And took out a bottle, and they was teasing the guy that was drinking and all this. "We had our communion right here." And because of their mockery of the communion service, because of their mockery, within about 2 to 3 weeks, all three of those guys were dead. And they died, just some pretty bad deaths. It wasn't, you know, like car accident or struck by lightning or whatever, something along those lines. But they died just like that, you know, because of their mockery of the communion service. This is a service, it's a showdown service. Certainly, if your life is not right, don't take communion. But if your life is not right, get your life right. Don't go month after month, week after week. "Well, I'm just not ready to take it." When are you going to get prepared to take communion? Amen. If you got to repent, whatever it takes. But get your heart right so you can approach God's table. Amen. Listen, says verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." They had to examine their own lambs, get a lamb without blemish. You examine your own life tonight. Amen. I encourage you, examine your own life. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another." Let's pray one for the other. Amen. "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Praise the Lord. Amen. As we just prepare our hearts, amen, at this time for the communion, amen. And tonight, our thoughts are we just want to go back. We want to reflect on that original communion night, that Thursday night, amen, before our Lord was betrayed. After he was betrayed, he was, amen, falsely accused. And being falsely accused, he was taken to a cross. And they had no idea, but he did all of that just for us. Amen. And I want you to, amen, at this moment, let's take a moment, have a little silent prayer. Amen. You pray for me, and I pray for you. And what we're praying for is we're asking that God would forgive all of us of our sins. And, amen, anything in our heart that is not pleasing to him, we want him to forgive us for it at this time. You pray for me, and I pray for you. Lord, grant every request. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us all, every sin, every shortcoming, every fault, every failure, Lord, everything. If there's anything in our heart that is not right, Lord God, cleanse us of it tonight. Please, Lord Jesus, cleanse us of it. It's coming a time, Lord, where we can see, Lord, your prophet, the last thing he preached was communion. Lord, the perfect type. That's the last thing you taught, Father, your disciples. God, and here we are tonight, Lord, approaching it with sincerity, sacredness, humility. We trust, God, that you would just forgive us all, even right now. Grant every request, Lord. Grant every request. Lord, I pray the same way Hezekiah prayed. Lord, the people were getting ready to celebrate Passover, but, Lord, their hearts hadn't had enough time just to kind of get prepared. They were turned from you, Lord, wasn't walking according to your word. And God, Hezekiah prayed as they are getting ready to approach it. He prayed, pardon the people. Pardon the people. God, I say the same words tonight. Pardon the people. Forgive us all, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. As I meant to bring this out earlier, but it slipped my mind. But Exodus 12:18, you don't have to get it. The scripture says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. So from the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. And this was given to the children of Israel, and I thought that was quite amazing, that today would be the 1 and 20th day of the month. Amen. And we would come in and participate in communion. I like finding myself in scripture. Amen. I just like finding that. So tonight, I believe this is a special service. I believe everyone that's here, God wanted you to be here for a reason. Amen. Not to come just out of tradition. Amen. But out of sincerity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Branham says in the message, communion. So this represents the body of the Lord Jesus, the bread.